38 in chapter 7. Matter of fact, we're going to read 38 and 39. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. And also we're going to quote John 14, 6. That's our jumping verse area. John 14, 6. So you got John chapter 7. We're going to read verses 38 and 39. Then John 14 and verse 6. And getting God's hand this morning. Don't forget, we're still talking all year long about standing for God. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hence, we've got the two banners up here letting you know the emphasis once we have been saved and fully armored is to keep that armor on and to stand. Amen. All right. So we're going to be reading John chapter 7. Verses 38 and 39. Read with me starting in verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so as you can see by this, we have covered already Jesus as the life, giving us eternal life and giving us everlasting life and giving us the light of life. And here is going to be the water of life. He's the living waters. And John 14, 6 says it this way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we found that God in John's gospel, the word life is mentioned 38 times. And that is a very, very significant because God has given us life and life more abundantly. We want to make sure we examine that life, stand in that life, and knowing because of life, you and I can stand. Amen. We have everything that we need to stand. Father, bless down this morning as we look at Jesus and giving us the water of life or the living waters. And Lord, help us to be able to stand with the truth of the gospel. I pray that your hand may be upon us. You might guide us. You may direct us and lead us, Lord, that truly we can say we've heard the word of God and we can leave differently than we came in. There be one man, one woman, boy or girl that has not received Christ. I do pray for that person. Lord, they may receive Christ, whether he be a man or woman or boy or girl. They would receive the blessed living waters, the Holy Spirit of God. Then, Lord, they will be sealed and saved and separated for the glory of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in our message today that you may receive all praise, honor, and glory in the message through song in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more. To trust him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to tears, just from Jesus simply giving life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with will be with me to the end. Precious Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more, to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus.
Thank you, Natasha. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. Not the normal composition that you're used to hearing, but nonetheless, same words. Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ has allowed us to be here once again. And most of all, glad that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the ability to stand for Him. You know, there are a lot of religions out there that, they call themselves being a nonviolent religion. I mean, even some Muslims would tell you they're nonviolent. Amen. But that the core of their religion is violence in what they do. Jesus never harmed anyone, never hurt anyone, never did any of those things. And so you can't run that by Jesus and say that's what He is like. He's still the friend of sinners, and He is still the King of kings and the Lord of lords. One day He will come conquering, and He will conquer. Amen. By the way, He's already conquered death and hell. And if you would trust in Him, you won't see those things. Amen. What a blessing it is here. We've got the Gospel of John, and we're looking at the areas where life is talked about here in the Gospel of John, because this month and last month, we've been looking at standing for the Savior. And this month, today, we're talking about Jesus. We can stand for Jesus because He is the water of life. If you look at the Gospels together, the Gospel of Matthew portrays Christ as the King of the Jews. And you look at Mark, He is the servant, amen, and so He is there to serve, and everything about what He does is action and activity. You come over to the Gospel of Luke, then He is the Son of Man, very compassionate in what He does. But then coming to the Gospel of John, then He is looked at as the Son of God and being equated with God in everything that He does, equal with God. And by the way, He is. He is. Folks say, well, He's being equated, but is He God? Yes, He is fully God and fully man, 100% God, 100% man. Amen. He is the image of the invisible God, the Bible says. In Him dwells all the Godhead bodily. Amen. He possesses God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, all in Him. When you see Him, you see God. Amen. By the way, no one can see God and live. But you can see Jesus and live. Sinners touched Him. Lepers touched Him. The blind touched Him. The maimed touched Him. He touched them. Amen. And they were healed. And so the Son of God is what John is trying to get across to the world and all the readers. And he has the seven I am statements in here. He said He's the bread of life and other things. Amen. We're not going to get into those things today, but we are going to hone in on this water of life that Jesus has, because you and I are in a spiritual battle every day. And God has left you and left me here as lights. And He said, let your light so shine before men. And we have the ability and the capability to stand for God. Say, preacher, why? Because we are complete in Him, according to Colossians. And so we can stand for Jesus Christ. And no matter what others may say or what others may do, we can stand. And by the way, don't let anyone pull you from your steadfastness. Amen, Pastor. Because God is faithful. We talked about it in Sunday school. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. Why should we stand for and in Jesus? Because we are complete in Him. In other words, we have the life He wants us to have in Him. We saw Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and He's worth standing for. talking about the water of life to stand. Notice verse number 38 there. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus has come to this point in the scripture, and we're going to give you some contextual background area. We're not going to go over all 38 verses, but I will give you the context before we actually get into the message this morning. So setting the context here, I want you to notice several things about this verse, because Jesus here is talking about many, many different things. The Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, according to verse number 2. I want you to notice in verses 1 through 10, Jesus and his relatives. Jesus and his relatives. Say, preacher, what do you mean Jesus and his relatives? Well, he had to deal with them, and there may be unbelieving relatives in your family too. Now, you would think, being raised with Jesus, the Son of God, you would notice something different about him. How many of y'all got those brothers or sisters that just seem to do no wrong? Amen. My oldest sister, she could do no wrong. Now, we knew her better. We knew she could do wrong, but when my parents were around, she was like an angel. But when my parents were gone, she was like an ogre. And she'd boss us around, and she'd make us do stuff. And then she would say, now, if you tell, I'm going to tell on all the stuff you did. And our list seemed to be always bigger than her list. I said, well, I'm going to tell on you about this. She said, well, I'm going to tell on you about this. And I thought, well, that's not good. Well, I'm going to tell on you about this. She said, well, I'm going to tell on you about that. And I said, well, that's not good. And my stuff was worse. And she said, well, I'm going to tell on you about this. Well, I'm going to tell on you about this. And she said, now, my list is bigger, so if you tell, you're going to be in bad shape. So you just need to step in line and do what I tell you to do. So I was always at a loss with her. I tried to be good, but being the only boy in the family, I just didn't happen. Amen. I was a boy, and she was a girl, and the oldest one, and she was smarter than me. Amen. That'll get you in trouble every time. Amen. And so you would think that they would see that Jesus was different. He never lied. He never stole. He never cheated. He did everything he was told. He was always obedient. Doesn't that just make you sick as a sibling? Amen. You think, why do they have to be that way? But Jesus was God, and so he could be that way. And he was that way. But notice what it says down in verses 3 through 5. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Notice the statement in verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. They say, if you're such a prophet, if you're such a man of God, if you're supposed to be who you say you are, go on down to the feast and open up and talk about who you are. And he says, it's not time for me to do that just yet. He said, but your time is always at hand. You can go ahead and go on down there, but my time is not there. So Jesus and his brother, hey, you and I are going to have unbelievers in our families don't believe you're saved. They're going to say, how do you know you're saved? You don't live like you're saved. You don't talk like you're saved. Well, what does it look like? It should look like Jesus. Yep. By the way, if they're blaming you because of the way you live, then you need to change the way you live. Amen. But his brethren had no reason to not believe him. So we see Jesus and his relatives in verses 1 through 10. And then we see in verses 11 through 29, Jesus and the religious crowd. They had mixed emotions about Jesus. And your family and friends may have mixed emotions about Jesus around you too. Notice verse number 12. Says, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. You ever run into those people? Well, you believe in Jesus, and he ordered all that killing in the Old Testament. You ever heard those people say that? Well, how can you believe in God who killed all those old people to his testament? He did this, and he did this over here, and destroyed that whole town, and he did this. And I say, well, that was a different time, a different period, and a different reason. Amen. We're talking about grace in the New Testament. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, those things happened, but if you and I got what was coming to us, we'd be destroyed too. Amen and amen. And there were mixed emotions about what Jesus was doing. They said that, well, some say he's deceiving the people. Verse 13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. About the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them, said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And so Jesus and the religious crowd, they had mixed emotions about him. And then you come down to verses 30 through 36. You find Jesus and their reactions about who he was. Notice verse number 30. says, then that they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Many of the people believed on him. Amen. And said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? And so there were some reactions to what he was doing. And some tried to arrest him. Others believed on him. And by the way, there will always be fault finders with the Lord Jesus Christ. There will always be those that aren't satisfied. Well, can he do this? Well, can he do this? And the most absurd one, well, can God make a rock that he can't pick up? Did Adam have a belly button? Well, while you're debating about those things, you're losing your soul in hell. Yeah. Amen. Amen. There'll always be these questions that people have. He healed on the Sabbath day is the accusation here. He did something that was contrary to the law. And Jesus said, well, don't you circumcise on the Sabbath? Then what's wrong with me making a person healed or whole on the Sabbath? And so their reactions, they wanted to arrest him and others believed on him. And there are going to be those that are never satisfied. But in verses 37 through 39, Jesus in his revelation, he reveals some things to them. Notice down there in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So Jesus stands up in the midst of the feast, and there were some traditional things going on with water, and he capitalizes on that and says, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Amen. I'll give him some water. Yeah. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But notice what the scriptures say in verse 39. Yeah. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. There will always be the truth for those who want to believe. And there was some in this crowd that did believe. And Jesus said, if you do believe, you'll have rivers of living water flowing out of you. You'll have the Spirit's power. And notice scripture's clarification in Jesus' statement in verse number 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. The living waters Jesus referred to was the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, in other places in scripture, water is equated to the word of God. Ephesians 5:26 says it this way, that he might sanctify, talking about the church, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. But in John 7:38, the scriptures references Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, not the word of God. By the way, both work together. The Spirit of God helps you understand the word of God, and you need both to be saved. Amen. By the way, when the Spirit of God comes in you, you then, by the Spirit's power, can help others to get saved. That's why he says you'll have these waters flowing out of you. You'll have the capability to give people the gospel where they'll get saved. You have the ability to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. You have the ability to do what God has called you to do. Amen. And by the way, it's not be foolish. It's to do the witnessing for him. So he says, hey, you'll have these river, this water flowing out of you. So in other parts, it's equated to the word of God. But here, Jesus, the Bible specifically says that the reference is to the Holy Spirit of God, which was ultimately fulfilled at Pentecost to permanently indwell man once he believed. You and I can stand for and in Jesus because we have the light of life, eternal life, everlasting life. And here we have the water of life or living waters. By the way, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit has been blamed for a lot of things that he does not do. Been blamed for a lot of things that he does not do. However, there are some still many things that he does. And John's gospel states some specific things regarding the living water of the Holy Spirit or the water of life that we can get through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I was raised in the church where, and I've told you this time and time again, the Holy Spirit got a bad rap according to me. Say, preacher, why? Because people would call themselves being slain in the Spirit. Say, preacher, what was that? Well, right about the time the preacher would get into his sermon, about 35, 40 minutes, our preacher preached for about an hour and a half, amen. But once he got up to about an hour and 35 minutes, you could kind of see the piano guy looking at him. And he'd get himself worked up and well, and the Bible says this, and now, and I tell you, and right about that time, somebody would say, woo!
Oh my goodness.
And then the organ would go, da-na-na. Y'all don't feel me now. And he'd start up again, da-na-na. The organ would go again. Somebody else would fall out. And as a child, my eyes got as big as a saucer. I saw that one pop up like popcorn and fall down. I saw that one pop up like popcorn and fall down. I saw that one jump up and just go. About to trip and break my other ankle. And as a boy, I'm sitting there like. I said, Mom, what's wrong with them? She said, oh boy, they got the Holy Ghost. I said, Mom, I don't want the Holy Ghost. I saw ladies' dresses flying up. They falling out. They had to come over there and take off their jackets and cover them up. And they're on the floor gyrating like this. And others over there. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And as a child growing up with that, I wasn't saved. I was petrified of the Holy Spirit. Later I found the Bible calls him the Comforter. There's nothing comforting about what I saw. And I'm not making fun of them. I'm telling you what I witnessed Sunday after Sunday after Sunday until I kind of got just used to it. And I'd look at my watch. And I'd say, oh, here it comes. Sister Jane. Boop, there she goes. Brother Bill. There he goes. Sister Janice. Boop, there she goes. Oh, a new one. I haven't seen them do that before. Whoa. Oh, and another one. I had to add them to my list. And growing up, that was my experience to the Holy Spirit. Folks, I am not joking. Brother Hall grew up in the same type of church I grew up in. And that was the workings of the Holy Spirit from what they told me. And I said, I don't want any parts of that. And I would see these same people that were just gyrating outside smoking a cigarette like nothing ever happened. I just saw you laid out on the floor like you were sick and had to be raised from the dead. And now you're out here smoking a cigarette. Boy, what? And right about that time, I said, you know what? Seen enough, heard enough. I'm through with this. And folks, as a 17-year-old, I walked out of church. I said, I don't need this. I said, I'm not learning anything here. I don't have any more knowledge of the Holy Spirit than I had when I was 10. And the same people that fell out when I was 10 are falling out 7 years when I'm 17. Of course, a couple more additions have been added to that list. It wasn't until I got saved, I understood what the Holy Spirit really was supposed to do. Jesus said, hey, you know what? Let me tell you about the living waters. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to agree with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to show you what you need to do. Folks, water is one of the necessities of life, and we're made of mostly water. One of the first signs when someone gets dehydrated is they start getting dizzy and they lose a lot of water weight. You can see it in their face, and then you begin to see it in their body, and their clothes begin to fall off them. The water begins to dissipate. By the way, fat in our bodies is made of water and other things. Amen. Your blood is from water. Most of your body is water. We're 3/4 of water, probably more than that. All of us, we're water. Water is necessary for life. By the way, babies are in the amniotic sac. Guess what's in there? Fluid. They're suspended in there so they don't have to deal with all the things that the moms go through. And when the babies come out, they don't like it oftentimes. That's why they cry. No, I'm just joking. Amen. But water, by the way, when bread runs out, you can still live a little bit longer on just water. Water is essential. And Jesus is letting them know that water is essential, and I am the water of life. I'm the living waters. I can give it to you. I've got the water of life. I'll give you what you need. And some believed and some didn't. The Bible says he spake of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on down there and they begin to discover some other things about Jesus and begin to argue about them. But notice the end of this discussion, because the man that we met back in John chapter number 3 begins to come up there. Notice what it says in verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. Him who? Jesus Christ. And it says, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him here? And they said, why didn't you bring that Jesus guy here? And the officers said, well, why don't you go try to bring him? Why have you not brought him? And notice 36. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Man, we heard the Pharisees. We heard the Sadducees. We heard the scribes. We heard all these people. They said, but ain't nobody spoke like that man. I mean, nobody. They said, you need to come and hear this man. How come you didn't bring him? We couldn't. You find out in the Garden of Gethsemane, they try to come in. Whom seek thee? Jesus of Nazareth. Pow, they fell down. Amen. How can you take somebody that can speak, I am he, and you fall down? Basically, he said, I am. Pow. He is. He said, how come you didn't bring him? They say, ain't nobody speak. By the way, never man speak like that. Never man will ever speak like that. Why? This is 100% God speaking. This is the glory of God contained in a body of flesh. Nobody could speak like Jesus. Nobody could interpret the scriptures like Jesus, because he was the living word of God. It says, then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? No, you're the one that's deceived. Amen. They said, hey, nobody spoke like it. We're not deceived. You are. And they said, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Notice verse 50, Nicodemus, we met him in John chapter 3, who came to Jesus by night. It says, Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? So Nicodemus is trying to give a little bit of witness there, albeit it may be weak. You know, he could have stood up and said, you know what, I met this man one night. And this man told me, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this man said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And this man told me about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And he said, he that believeth is going to be saved. I remember him talking about that. And it took me in my pharisaical mind all the way back to Moses, and Moses lifting up that brazen serpent and all the people dying and them believing on him and them getting saved. And Nicodemus could have stood up and said, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that man Jesus, that man over there, that never man spake like him, should not perish but have everlasting life. He began to talk about my deeds being evil and us being in darkness and us not wanting to come because we would fall under condemnation. And I remember that. And that man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Folks, you better leave him alone. He could have said that, but he didn't. But praise God for what he did say. What about us when we get a chance to say, what do we say? Hey, we can say a whole lot, but what do we say? So we can talk bad about Nicodemus. Well, he should have gave more of a bold witness. He should have said, well, bless God, I got saved back then. What do we say? Probably about as much as Nicodemus. Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. And so that chapter comes to an end, but I want to hone in on verse 38 and verse 37. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice what Jesus said to the woman at the well back in chapter 4. Hold your places there and go back to chapter 4 and notice what Jesus says here, because this is another rendering of the water of life. Notice John chapter 4 and notice verse number 10. Jesus answered, he's speaking to the woman of the well, and notice what he says in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee, notice that, living water, or the water of life. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence From whence then hast thou that living water? On this occasion, the living water is none other than Jesus himself. Doesn't say anything about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will give you that water. I am he. I am that living water. Notice what it says down in verse number 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, what? I that speak unto thee am he. He said, I am the living water. And when I come in, the Spirit of God's going to come in, and you will have me, and you will have the Spirit of God. You will have everything that you need. And of course, the woman ended up getting saved down through this passage. But he said, you know what? I will give you eternal, everlasting water. Notice verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He gives you the Spirit of God. And so he let him know about the living water over here. Over here, Jesus is saying, I am the living water. The Holy Spirit is the living water as well. What does John's gospel say about the living water or the Holy Spirit? What does he do? Number one, give you several things here, and then we'll finish up next week. Number one, the Holy Spirit or living water preserves us. Go over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. By the way, if you are saved here, you are preserved, as we would say, you're hell proof and heaven bound. Somebody say amen. I am not going to hell. I couldn't go to hell even if I wanted to. Paul said, I could wish myself accursed that I would go to hell that my people could be saved. I'm glad I can't wish myself accursed. And if I did, I wouldn't have everlasting life. Amen. But I do. You ever felt that strong about somebody else? You want to say, man, I wish they'd get saved. I'd give up my salvation so they could be saved. Not me. Amen. I like my salvation. Amen. Now, I feel strongly about people getting saved, but not at the expense of giving up mine. Amen. Now, maybe you're different than me. Praise God for you. Amen. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not giving up mine for anybody. Amen. Say, preacher, well, you don't love enough. Amen. He's still working on me. Amen. Say, wouldn't you give it up for your grandma or your grandpa or your mom? I'll plead with him. I'm not giving them mine. Amen. I couldn't do it even if I wanted to. Amen. But Paul made that claim. He said, I could wish myself accursed. My people could get saved. Amen. That's a heart for people. Amen. Y'all singing in your mind too? He's still working on me because I'm not giving up mine either. Amen. The Holy Spirit of living water preserves us. John 14, notice what he says down in verse number 16. He says this, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, notice this, and shall be where? In you. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit or the living word preserves us. Amen. He said, he shall be in you. Wait a minute. Paul gives a warning over in Romans chapter 8. Paul says this about the Holy Spirit being in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So in other words, this living water, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will be with you, but he will also be in you, and you'll have the witness of the Spirit. Let me ask you the question. Do you have the Spirit in you? You should. You say, preacher, how can I know he's in there? He responds to the Word of God. Well, I thought that was that little voice like Jimmy the Cricket. No, that's your conscience. That's your conscience. That's a totally different animal there. Amen. And by the way, your conscience, let me read you something here. When we were born, God created us with an onboard computer known as our conscience. Our conscience responds to the moral laws around us dealing with right and wrong. By the way, when Adam and Eve were created, they had a conscience. For instance, when you run a stoplight, your first instinct is to look for who? A cop. My wife called me yesterday, and I thought it was an important thing, so I picked up my phone, and I got to talking with her, and I said, well, honey, I'm in the car, and I'm not supposed to be on the phone, you know. And she said, well, this is important. I said, okay. Well, and I'm talking to her, and out of the blue, I heard, "Beep!" I looked behind me, and the lights were going. I said, see what you did to me? And the kids, they got frightfully afraid. He's going to pull us over. Daddy's going to get a ticket. The preacher's going to jail. And I pulled over, and he whisked right on by me. I said, honey, bye. We got to get off this phone. What happened? My conscience said, hey, look, you're not supposed to be on that phone, buddy. But cop, this was an emergency. Was your wife having a baby? No, but if I didn't answer this call, she probably would have had one. Amen. And so conscience, when you run a stoplight or anything like that, you look for a cop. When children disobey, they're not able to look parents in the eye oftentimes. Why? Because their conscience has told them they did wrong according to the moral law. However, praise God, when we get saved, God's Holy Spirit guides us daily. He overrides our conscience and responds to God's word to let us know what to do. Conscience responds to man's law. Holy Spirit responds to God's law. Why do you think some savages over in certain countries can be cannibals and see nothing at all wrong with it? Their moral law has told their conscience that it's okay to eat another person. You and I look at that. We're just absolutely, eat another person. Oh, are you crazy? Because our moral law has conditioned us that that's wrong. But our moral law has also told us nothing. How often do you see somebody ball up some paper and just throw it on the ground? And they see absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because littering is not against the law in a lot of places. But let it be against the law. Let somebody throw something down. They would say, that was wrong. Nothing gets my goat more than people just throw stuff down. I mean, that gets my goat like nobody's business. And I've been trying to get rid of that goat, but he ain't going nowhere. I see people throw stuff down. I'm thinking, pick it up. And you see people do this. Let me pick it up. Now, I got some dog feces out in front of my yard. I still haven't done anything about that yet, but that's different. That's not trash, amen. That's biodegradable, amen. I don't have to pick that up until I step in it, then I'll have to pick it up, amen. But that's too late. Amen. I'm saying the Holy Spirit responds to God's law. The conscience responds to the moral law. By the way, the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son. He possesses all the same divine attributes, and this is not a study of the Holy Spirit, but I just wanted to let you know that the conscience is different from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide you into this book. Your conscience guides you into the laws of this land. But by the way, this book should guide you above the laws of this land and step you up to the laws of this book, which means you will abide by the laws of this land. Amen and amen. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit of the living waters preserves us, according to John 14 and verses 16 and 17. Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says it this way. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? By the way, when you got saved, you gave up possession to you. By the way, when you got married, you gave up possession of you. I did. Yes, you're the property of your spouse, according to the Bible. You're supposed to render everything to your spouse, and she's supposed to do the same thing to you. Amen. You say, what if it's two ladies? That ain't of God. Amen. Amen. What if it's two men? That ain't of God either. It's not proper grammar, but amen, it's not of God. Right. And they won't have the blessings of God, because God blesses marriage between a man and woman, not between two men or two women. Or, Pastor, that's not politically correct. You can get arrested for that. You got to take me to jail then. I'm following the book. I'm not following anything else. And so those rights were given up at the moment that you got saved. Read it with me. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost or the living water of God, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He says, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. Amen. And by the way, Peter made the infamous mistake of saying, not so in Lord in the same voice. Not so, Lord. If he's Lord, you can't say not so.
That's right.
Because Lord means sovereign.
That's right.
Amen. But Peter said, not so, Lord. If he's Lord, then you can't say not so.
That's right.
But we can be Peters and Peterettes. Amen. So Paul said, you're not your own. And so the Holy Spirit of living water preserves us according to John 14, 16, and 17. What else does John's gospel say about the living waters or the Holy Spirit of God? Number two, the Holy Spirit of living water provides teaching to us. John 14, 26. Go down with me a little bit further there. He says, but the Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. This is already a future tense. This was going to happen at Pentecost. He will send in my name. He shall what? Teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How do you think we got the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John? Because they had these things brought to their mind. The Lord Jesus, through the Spirit of God, taught them and instructed them what to write down. He said, I'm going to teach you all things. Amen. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach us to be students of the word, but to be students, we must learn, obey, and follow. Amen. By the way, how do we learn? Little by little, step by step. By the way, some people try to learn the impossible way. Come here, G2 and Terrell, Joshua. Now, the Bible says, if this is the way, walk in it, then I need to go this way. All right, this is the destination that the Spirit of God wants me to go to. Oh, sorry. Y'all come back over here, starting point. Following fishers of men. Amen. All right. So who's the oldest here? You're the oldest. Okay. So we're going to do this step by step. So now, how do we learn? Little by little, step by step. Well, the Bible say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son, teach them to observe all things. So I'm supposed to learn step by step, little by little. Okay, so G2 just got saved. He's got the first step. Now, the next step he's supposed to take is baptism. Okay, so take one step. Okay, so go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them. He's baptized, all right? And then take another step. And the Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, okay? And one of the next steps he's supposed to do is join the church, okay? Then he starts praying, learns how to pray, take another step, okay? He's supposed to go ahead and read his Bible, okay? Go ahead and take another step. He's supposed to start tithing, take another step, amen? Go back here and do that step again. He's supposed to start tithing, all right? Go back here and do that step again, okay? He's supposed to start tithing. Some folks don't want to take that step. Tithe! What are you talking about? And then you got others that'll come over here, Mr. Terrell. Okay, now the goal is to go that way. Here's the way, walk in. Okay, you got to go step by step. But some folks like to learn the impossible way. And I want you to get from here to that door without steps. Go ahead, try it. All right, you come over here, Joshua. And then you got others still. You still working on that? Okay, amen. You got others that'll try and do the bunny hop way. Okay, step by step. Some try to hop. Okay, you're supposed to get baptized, but you jump over that step. Well, we don't want to get baptized, okay? All right. And you're supposed to teach somebody else how to get saved. We won't do that. Jump over them. And you're supposed to start tithing. You're definitely going to jump over that step. Oh, but I'll start reading my Bible. Take one step. Oh, I'll start coming to church. Take another step. Okay? But wait a minute. He left out a whole bunch of steps here, didn't he? He jumped slap over them. And then you got other Christians, they haven't moved at all. They think they can just skip all of them, just jump there. Oh, watch me close my eyes. And I can do this. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Why am I still in the same spot? Y'all laugh. Some Christians do it. I can get there. I'm walking in the way. I'm reading my Bible, but you haven't moved a step. I can get there my way. Have at it. It doesn't work that way, does it? How does it work? Step by step. I got to take it step by step, little by little, little by little, little by little. I can't skip steps like some Christians do. I've got to take it step by step by step. What does the Bible say? He shall teach you. The Spirit of God will prick somebody's heart and say, stop that and start this. Well, I'm not going to stop that, but I'll start this while I have this. It doesn't go together. Hey, folks, I tried that. I'm going to go to church and still keep my alcohol, still drink. It doesn't go together. It doesn't work. I'm going to start praying and keep my cigarettes and keep my drugs. And it doesn't go together. If I take that step, I got to leave that past step. What did he say? He shall teach you step by step. Little by little. Don't try and cheat your way there by jumping. Don't try and stay in one spot and say, I'll get there my way, and I know there's got to be way. Oh, teletransportation. That's it, right? Beam me up, Scotty. I'll get beamed from here to there, and I'll be super spiritual, right? I just want to have 17 years of spirituality under my belt. And in 17 years, if I think hard enough, I'll be right there. And 17 years later, guess where I'm still at? Teletransportation does not work in the Christian life. Doesn't work in real life either. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Amen. What am I saying? He said here, the Spirit of God's going to teach you all things. The Holy Spirit or living water provides teaching to us. He says, hey, look, but the Comforter, verse 26 of chapter 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. By the way, if you don't know something, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault that you don't know it, because he already knows it. He just wants you to know it now, so you got to learn it. Many people limit the Holy Spirit of God by not getting in this book. And by the way, if you don't think you can, you won't be able to do it, because you've got to get empowered by this book and the Holy Spirit's power. He gives you the power to do what God has called you to do. By the way, when he is saved, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. What did he say? He said, I'm going to enable you. I'm going to empower you to speak. You cannot do it on your own. Amen. People don't get saved by your words. They get saved by the word of God. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to empower you to speak, but you've got to be taught first to know what to speak. You ever open up your mouth and put foot in? Get to witnessing to somebody? Amen. I remember that one time I told that guy that he was going to go to hell. Now, it's true, but it's the way I said it. And I mean, it was, I mean, I had 9 size foot all in my mouth. Well, I had combat boots on at the time, brother, sir. I was in the military. And I mean, he came over there, what do you mean by telling me all this stuff? I said, well, I'm commanded to tell you this or you're going to go to hell. I could have said that a whole lot better if I let the Holy Spirit answer. I should say, Holy Spirit, now what should I say to this guy? But I was scared. I was trembling. I thought he was going to tell the boss on me. You're going to go to hell. You didn't get in front of the boss. What are you going to say to the boss? You're going to go to hell too. There's better ways to say it than that. Is it true? Yes. And I could have fallen back on the truth. Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? But speak the truth in love. There's a way to say things. And if we listen to the Spirit of God, we let him teach us, then we might be profitable and productive. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. By the way, when it comes to teaching the Holy Spirit, let me give you this illustration here again. Come here, Joshua. Many of us do this to the Spirit. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve means to sorrow, or to make feel sad or bad. The Holy Spirit's job is to seal us and to keep us from going where we ought not go. And the Holy Spirit's job is to protect us. You know what some of us literally have to do to sin? Get out of the way. Because he's going to convict you. He's going to tell you that's not right. He'll warn you. He'll say, no, 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 don't say it. Don't say it. Blah. And we put all of our intelligence out there. And then we feel bad. You gave up your mind and now you don't have any left. I'll give them a piece of my mind. You don't have much. Let's keep it. Amen. Let's keep what we have. And sometimes what happens is the Holy Spirit says, don't blow up. We're going to watch Impatience tonight. And I am so guilty of that. The Holy Spirit said, don't control yourself. Calm down. Calm nothing. And the old man comes back up and roar. And then we make a mess out of stuff. Then we go back, I'm sorry, did I let the old man talk to you that way? I ain't talking about it. I'm talking about you. You said it. Don't blame it on the old man. And we've got to walk right past the Holy Spirit of God oftentimes. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Because he will say, don't do it. Don't say it. Now, the Bible says, be ye kind one to another. The Bible says, be swift to speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we're like, but Lord, it's taking too long. I know what the Bible says, but don't forget it. And you did this. And it goes all out there. And then the person sees us. The Holy Spirit sees us. And we see us. And like those cartoons that I watch, the big lollipop head comes up there. Womp, womp, womp. And we feel bad, like, why did I do it? He wants to teach us, but to be taught, we've got to learn. And we've got to follow, and we've got to obey. The Holy Spirit is standing right there saying, don't do it. Don't do it. And so often, what do we say? It's taken too long. Let me handle it the best way I know how. And we gird up our loins, pull up our britches. Holy Spirit saying,
Now, by the way, the Holy Spirit's not going to do this. Don't say it. The Holy Spirit's not going to do this. Don't do it. You'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. Don't do it. I'll hold you back. No, don't do it. The Holy Spirit's not going to do that. The Holy Spirit says, now, if you want restraint, I will give you restraint. Amen. But if you want to go, guess what? You have every ability and ounce of strength to do. Resurrect that old man and go do it. And the Holy Spirit says, now you feel bad, don't you?
Yes, sir.
You know that's against God. And you know, you get people who say, now you know that's against God. Well, I don't care. Are you sure you're saved if you don't care? But we get so upset that we're not thinking straight. What happened? The Spirit of God wants to teach us, but like any student, if you've been a teacher before, you can put the information out there, but the child has got to want to learn. The child's got to obey. The child's got to follow. As a teacher, you can do everything in your power. But at the end of the day, it's got to be grasped by the individual. Now, I'll be honest with you. I pushed the Holy Spirit to the side way too much. I don't know about you. I know I shouldn't, but the flesh just gets alive, and I get impatient, and I can't wait, and I want to give him a piece of my mind. And God said, that's a bad idea, because you don't have a whole lot, and you need to keep what little bit I gave you. And I want to give it all away. Well, good, I told them, but now I feel bad. Thank you, Joshua. What does he say? He's going to teach you. Folks, as we're going through here, we're going to see some more things that the Spirit of God or the living waters does in John's gospel. But we see just two here. Verse 16 and 17, the Spirit or the living water preserves us. He says, he shall be in you. And then verse 26, the Spirit or the living water provides teaching to us. He says, he shall teach you all things. Our job is to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, listen more to the Holy Spirit than you do your conscience. Your conscience will guide you in the wrong direction. You know, you hear people say, oh, follow your conscience. No, he got you in trouble in the first place.
Yes, sir.
You follow the Holy Spirit, who is following this book, and you'll be fine. Folks say, oh, let your heart guide you. You love them, don't you? Yes, let your heart guide you, puppy dog. There we go. Yeah. There's only one problem. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So while you think, I'm letting my heart guide me, and then you fall into a trap. No. Let the Spirit of God, the living waters, lead you. Folks, we're going to finish this up next week. But if you don't get anything else, get this, that Jesus said, go back to John chapter 7. John said in Jesus said, chapter 7, verse 38, verse 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, that means putting confidence, faith, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means repenting of your sins and repenting of the direction that you're going in, and believe the truth that Jesus Christ is truly God. He's the Son of God. He died for your sins. He was buried after crucifixion, and he rose again. And he says, if you believe on me, as the scriptures said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And by the way, I didn't say that. God said that through Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given.
Right.
I asked you the question, have you received the Holy Spirit of God? You say, preacher, I don't know. You should have received him the day you were born again. The day that you bowed your head and you saw yourself separated from God, a sinner, awaiting judgment and punishment. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The day you saw yourself on your way to hell, you should have said, Lord, I'm going in this direction, which is leading to hell. But I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn to you, and I want you to save me. And instantaneously, the moment that you believed, you received. the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, you say, well, preacher, I don't live like I'm saved. If you're saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. But the Holy Spirit may not have all of you. That's why oftentimes we can push him to the side and go and do our own thing. He wants to keep you in bounds. But you've got to learn, and you've got to follow, and you've got to obey. And folks, I'm just as guilty as you are. Sometimes I want to go and do my own thing. I want to go my own way. But the scriptures say that his job is to preserve me. And then his job is to teach me. Where are you at today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you have the living waters? Is the Spirit speaking to you? Have you jumped over some steps? Are you still at square one since you believed and you've never taken the other steps? Or are you going step by step? Salvation, amen. Baptism, church membership, Bible reading, Bible study, praying, tithing, serving God. Folks, those are steps that God wants you to take. Are you saved? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Lord, you said you're the living water. And you said the one that believes, as the scriptures said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, help us to follow the Spirit's guidance, his leadership. Help us not to be tricked or deceived into following our conscience. But as the Spirit preserves us, help him to provide that teaching to us and help us to learn, to obey, to follow. And help us not to skip steps, but to go step by step. Many other things John's gospel says about this living water, this Holy Spirit of God, and help us to uncover these things over the next week. Oh, Lord, get a grasp of the Spirit's power in our life. And Lord, we understand that as the Spirit of God, he will tell us to do different things at different times to different individuals. He's not going to lead two people at the same rate of speed, but he will lead them according to the Word of God the same. And help us, Lord, to follow that leadership step by step, little by little. Help that one that needs to be saved to come. And let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure that I have this living water. I'm not sure I've accurately believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just raise your hand up. I'll acknowledge it and you can put it back down. I'm not sure, preacher, that if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? Man, woman, boy, or girl, wherever you're at. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. Would you pray for me, preacher? Man, woman, boy, or girl. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. I've sat where you sat. If you want to know, just raise your hand. Just want to pray for you. Won't pick you out. Won't call you. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Next, how many would say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I need to take some of those steps you talked about in the teaching field by the Spirit of God. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's Bible study. Maybe it's prayer. But I need to take some more steps so that the Spirit of God can teach me. I'm preserved, but I need him to provide that teaching. Pray for me that I could learn what I need to learn. Preacher, pray for me. Anyone like that at all? I see several hands. Amen. Several hands. Amen. Amen. You may put them down, folks. I'm that way. One of the things that I know I need is patience. And we're watching a video tonight. I know I need teaching in that area. And lastly, Lord, here am I. Send me. Maybe God's called you to a special place of ministry. The Spirit of God has prompted your heart. And he wants to take you into an area. And you're unsure what area that is. But you would say, I'm going to surrender to the Spirit's call. I don't know what he wants me to do. But I know I'm saved. I know I'm serious, and I don't know what area of service that God has for me, but I feel him tugging at me to do something special other than what I'm doing. Pray that I can do that. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me, preacher. I see one hand. Amen. Amen. I see another. Amen. I see another. Amen. I see another. Is there anyone else? I don't know what he wants me to do, but I'm open, Lord. Guide me. Lord, direct me. Lord, teach me. Show me like it says here. Teach me. Amen. I see another. Father, you see the hands that have been raised. And those seeking serious counsel from you, the Holy Spirit of God, to be trained, to be taught to do what you want them to do. God, provide the teaching to them by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And others just wanting to do the will of God, wanting to walk not according to conscience, but according to the Spirit's call. Lord, I pray for them as well, that you would direct them and in their life, that they would surrender to whatever it is you'd have them to do, and that we would walk pleasing in thy sight. Lord, not running past the Spirit of God, but being led by the Spirit. Help each and every one of us, Lord. I know I have my struggles with patience. And Lord, I need your teaching in that area. Others need teaching and training in other areas. Help us to grow step by step, little by little, here a little, there a little, but help us to do it according to the will of God and the word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet as Miss Natasha plays. You move as God leads. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you need to come forward and pray. Maybe about a loved one. Or maybe you need to pray about your own leading, your own teaching. Maybe it's about the steps that God would have you to take. But let God speak to your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The Spirit of God doesn't deal with two people in the same way. February 3rd, 1991, the day I got saved, there was a whole group of people in that room. And I don't know about them, but I know me. God spoke to my heart. I came forward to get saved. My wife came forward to get saved. Say, preacher, what about the rest of the people? I don't know about them, but I know how God spoke to me. See, the Spirit of God doesn't speak to everybody in the same way at the same time, but He does speak. And when He speaks, our job is to learn, to obey, to follow once we listen. What is it that the Holy Spirit of God would have you to do today? Maybe it's an area of service that He wants you to do. Maybe if you're a man, He wants you to surrender to preach. Maybe you're a young lady, maybe a position of ministry, maybe as a missionary. Maybe as a Sunday school teacher. Or maybe as an usher. Maybe as a singer. Maybe as a musician to play an instrument. Maybe it's just to be a little bit more godly to my children and rearing them. Maybe it's to be a little bit more submissive to my husband. Maybe it's to be a little bit more loving to my wife. Maybe it's to be a little bit more obedient to my parents. Or maybe it's to be a better student in school. Maybe it's to be a better co-worker. Maybe it's to be a better boss. Maybe God is calling you to do something special that no one knows about, and you just need a confirmation. Ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, confirm it. Confirm it by your word. Confirm it by your prompting and your pulling in my heart. But whatever it is, let the Spirit of God lead you. He preserves us. He provides teaching. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me." Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know you're saved? If you're a man, we get a man to show you how you can be saved. If you're a woman, we get a woman to show you. But you must come. Let us take a Bible and let you know. Or maybe God's calling you to surrender to baptism. Would you come? Maybe He's calling you to join this church. Would you come? Let God speak. Father, thank you for the teachings in the Gospel of John and how you have told us that we can stand. And you told us we can stand because we're complete in you. Lord, you have enabled us through the teaching of the Spirit of God. Once we are saved and believe on you, you said out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. But you said this is the Spirit of God which we would receive once we believe. Help us to not just believe, but receive the teaching, the training, the leading, the guiding. Lord, the Holy Spirit has been blamed for a lot of things that we saw today. But one of the things that we know, He preserves and He provides teaching. Help us to learn. Help us not to get involved in things that are foolishness. And help us step by step, little by little, do what you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me have your attention just for a moment. We do have another candidate for baptism, Kelly Tracy. Amen. I got a chance to meet with him this week, and he's been saved years ago, but never had the opportunity to get baptized. And we have a baptism coming on Sunday, and he wants to join in with that baptism, just coming forward to present himself for baptism. And so he'll be getting baptized with the rest. He's a little taller than most. So we'll have fun baptizing him, amen. I was talking to him. He looked around. He said, "Where are you going to baptize me?" I said, "Come with me, amen." We went next door. So see that little box right there, amen. We're going to put you in that box and scrunch you down and put you underwater. And I said, praise God. He's a little bit tall. Amen.
Praise the Lord,
but praise God for him coming forward and praising God that he's excited about serving God. Amen. He and I were joking about our patients, and he was talking about coming back tonight. And I thought, well, I got to come back tonight for sure.
I
definitely need to have that DVD tonight. So you make sure you come back tonight. Make sure you get give him the right hand of fellowship. His dad is back here, Bob. And his stepmom is Lois, and so they're right next to Trudy, amen. And so he's responsible for getting them here and back and forth. And so praise God for his diligence in helping them out. If you remember Margie, this is Margie's brother. Yeah. Margie was here about 6 months ago.
About three or four months ago.
Amen. And she's coming back in Christmas time?
Yeah.
Christmas time, amen. And so she said, look, you need to get over to that church.
Amen.
And he came and he hadn't left since he came. Praise
amen
God
that,
for him. Amen.
Amen for
so we're excited to see him baptized next week. Amen. Amen. Pastor White has some closing announcements for us. Amen. Make sure you come up and give Kelly a right hand of fellowship. Just thanking him. Pray for him as well. You know how it is when you step out to go get baptized. The devil tries to beat you up. Amen. Pastor White's got announcements. We'll be dismissed tonight. Be back for the DVD.
I ain't going to let him go yet. Amen.
Since he's already here, you know, it's amazing how God has allowed our paths to cross way back in Belgium some years ago. And I've learned to get to know our pastor. I love him with all my heart. Mm-hmm. He's been a blessing. You know, it's not often that you have a pastor, a friend, a brother. And I mean, not just a brother in Christ, but you feel like he is your brother. And when I go to Atlanta, his mom and dad make me feel just like I'm one of theirs.
Amen.
And it is such a tremendous blessing to have that. As you all may know, there's many days that go on in our society that they honor a certain thing. And yesterday, I think it was actually dessert day. Can you believe that? I don't know. Y'all keep up with all of that. But it was actually National Dessert Day. And today is Pastor Appreciation Day. And we want to make sure that we, from the bottom of my heart, we want to say thank you, Pastor, for being our pastor, we really appreciate you.
Amen.
And words couldn't say what our appreciation and what you mean to us. But I am just so thankful that, again, as I said, I have a pastor, a friend, a brother in Christ, and a brother that feels like a brother to me as well. And I can say we love you and appreciate you for all that you do. And I've learned in being grown up in the South, you know, you may not have a whole lot of money, but you can always feed them. Amen. So we'll give him a gift card. He can go out at our expense and enjoy his gift card and go out and eat. I know he likes to eat, and I'm sure that he would greatly appreciate this as we say we love you.
Amen. Amen.